Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Conti's Law. I'm your host, Attorney Michelle Conti. At Conti Law, we're your legal concierge, and we focus primarily on estate planning, estate administration, tax planning, and elder law. But that doesn't mean if you have other questions, not to give us a call. Our telephone number is 724-784-0239, and our website is www.contilawpgh.com. I'm going to jump right in. If you've been listening the past several weeks, we've been talking primarily about what makes up an estate plan. And that can be anything from passing away with a will, without a will, with a revocable trust, with a testamentary trust built into a will or a trust. Last week, we talked about even irrevocable trust, third-party trust, special needs trust. There's all types of vehicles we can use. It's just finding out what makes the most sense for you and your circumstances. That doesn't mean starting out with a will and then as your wealth or as your circumstances change, upgrading to a revocable trust. It also doesn't mean that we don't start with a revocable trust because that's what your current situation dictates. And in 20 years, revoke the trust and have a will. So it's all dependent on what's going on in your life at this time. Now, I laugh because I know I've been belaboring the point of I have young children. This is what I've done. Well, when they're not young anymore, maybe in 30 years, my estate plan will change. As life changes, our estate plan also changes. What if we become a widow? What if we have children? What if we've gotten divorced? We have new grandkids. We don't like our kids anymore. Maybe our kids no longer need a guardian. All of these things can dictate why we update our estate plan. Blow the dust off. Let's look at it. Let's review it. As life changes, with marriages, with divorce, with death, with births, financial changes within our family, so too should our estate plan change. Oftentimes people say, I don't ever want to think about this again. I feel so good it's done, but I don't ever want to think about it again. And that's fair. I can understand it. But at the same time, that's not realistic. As our life changes, as it will, our estate plan typically changes. One of the biggest misconceptions, and I had this call last week, and I want to briefly discuss it. And I know I say briefly and then I go on a tangent for 20 minutes, but people often are confused by having a will and beneficiary designations. And I want to try to explain it to you in the simplest of terms and make it make sense. Your will and your beneficiary designations are two separate animals. What do I mean by that? Well, your will handles any asset that goes through the probate process when you die. What does that mean? If you haven't been a listener and heard me go on and on and on about what a probate is, probate, quite simply, I hope, is a court process whereby your will or lack thereof dictate who gets your stuff. And that's true for any asset that you die owning individually. So let's say, in this instance, I'm not married. So let's say, in this instance, I'm a widow or I never got married to begin with. So I have a house in my name. I have bank accounts in my name. Maybe I've purchased life insurance. Maybe I have a 401k or IRA or any other qualified investment plan just in my name. We'll start with the easy part. Typically, and if you've listened to me in the past, I highly recommend you put a beneficiary on any asset you can. Life insurance, put a beneficiary on. Because by adding a beneficiary, multiple beneficiaries, primary and contingent beneficiaries, that allows that asset to fall outside of probate. It allows that asset to go directly to the named beneficiary. 9 times out of 10, people are naming their spouse as the primary beneficiary, their children as contingent beneficiaries. In my example, I said I'm not married. Well, then maybe if I have kids, I name my kids as the primary beneficiaries equally. Currently, I have 2. Zach and Zoe get 50-50. They go their separate ways. Maybe I don't have children. Maybe I'm young and I name my parents as the beneficiaries. Maybe I name my siblings or my nieces and nephews as the beneficiaries. Keep in mind, by naming the beneficiary, that asset avoids probate. What does that mean? What does that look like? I pass away. Somebody, be it my executor, my administrator, a loved one, a known beneficiary of an account, contacts that company, ABC company that has my life insurance or my IRA. Any investment that maybe I was smart enough to tell you, you are my beneficiary. When I die, call these people. What happens then? Typically, you will state that you need to file a claim with them, a death claim. They will then require a certified death certificate. They will thank you for contacting them, for making them aware. Send their condolences and state, we will send the named beneficiaries on file claim forms. It doesn't matter if you're the executor, it doesn't matter if you're the spouse or the attorney calling them. Now, sometimes they'll give you a little bit more information than they should. Most of the time, they'll say, we'll accept a death certificate. You can fax it to this number. You can mail it to us at this address. Once we have it on file and we open that claim, we will then send our claim form to the named beneficiaries. They are not supposed to tell you if you're a beneficiary without having all of the paperwork necessary. Sometimes they screw up and they do. Most of the time, though, they don't. And they'll send the beneficiary the form. The beneficiary then has to fill out the form with their information, their relationship, whether or not they want to have the tax withheld, whether or not the tax will be listed on the inheritance tax return so we get the benefit of the deductions. There's a lot that goes into it. That's the example of passing away with an asset with a named beneficiary. That's what happens. More often than not, however, people are confused and they'll say to me, I left everything to my kids equally. Okay, is that what your will says? Is that what your beneficiary forms say? If that's not what your beneficiary forms say, and your will indicates, in the example, everything goes to my kids 50-50, that may not necessarily be the case. Just because your will says everything goes to the kids equally, 50-50, doesn't mean that all of your assets hold that same presumption. What do I mean by that? Well, I have 2 kids in my instance. What if my house is owned jointly with one of my kids and not the other? What if one of my bank accounts is mine and it's joint with my daughter? I see this all the time. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that my son is entitled to either of those assets, because when I pass, I own that jointly with my daughter. So when I die, that asset is now 100% my daughter's. Does that make sense? So we have two kids. My will says everything goes to them equally. But keep in mind, my will only is in charge of those assets that go through my estate. So ideally, my assets that have beneficiaries on them, my life insurance, my IRA, my 401k, my annuities, they should go directly to the named beneficiaries of that account. Now, if I did it right and I listed it equally to both kids, then they'll get it 50-50. But if for convenience or for whatever reason, and I've heard every excuse, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but I've heard the reasons why people add a kid, and not all the kids. Maybe my daughter lives here and helps me manage my bills, and my other kids live out of state. So it just makes more sense to have my daughter on that account. Just keep in mind, when you pass, that account now is your daughter's 100%. And if you've tuned in the past, we've gone through the reasons why I say it's a great idea or really terrible idea to add a child as a co-owner. But for this instance, this example, keep in mind, your estate may not be divided equally. In my case, it's easy. I have two kids. It's not going to go 50-50 if I name one child as a joint owner of an account or a piece of property and not the other. Your will only handles those investments, those accounts, those properties that are just in your individual name when you die. The will, keep in mind, is just a legal document that says, when I die, this person gets my stuff, this person gets this part of my stuff, this person or these people are in charge of managing and settling my estate. It includes personal property. So those knickknacks you have. What about vehicles? What about a boat, a plane, a trailer, a motorcycle? Any tangible personal property that you have. It also handles your real estate, so your house, maybe that vacant piece of property you own. Your bank accounts, checking, savings, CDs, your investments accounts, stocks, bonds, mutual funds. That is what your estate is comprised of when it goes through probate. Your probate estate does not include, again, any asset that has a beneficiary designation on it. They pass outside of your will, outside of probate, and will be distributed based on the terms of your beneficiary forms. So if you designated a kid, a spouse, a grandkid, an ex-partner, an ex-spouse, that's who's getting those accounts. So keep that in mind. It's not necessarily equal, an equal distribution, if you don't take all of your estate plan in place, in your mind's eye. So we have to think just outside the will. We have to think of all of those other accounts you may or may not have. I'm going to give you our telephone number here as a quick break. Our number is 724-784-0239. Our website is www.contilawpgh.com. And I give you that because we offer complimentary consultations. We're here to educate you. I have more people who call and say, I don't know if you can help me. I don't know. And you won't know the answer unless you ask. So we can schedule a telephone call. We can schedule an in-office and in-home meeting and see what makes sense for you. Just because a trust works for your sibling doesn't mean it'll work for you. I have more people who come in and they say, I need a trust, in response to my question of, what are your goals? Why are we here? What is bothering you? What's keeping you up at night? What do you want to achieve? And they say, I need a trust. And if you have all of your money, all of your stuff locked up in accounts that already have beneficiaries, and you need a trust in your mind's eye because you want to avoid probate, you may not need one. If everything's owned jointly, if you have beneficiaries, these are things that we're here to guide you and help you. You're not supposed to know everything. The follow-up question I always get, well, is okay, if I have a will, if I have a trust, what happens when I die? What's that process look like? Well, if we did it correctly and we named an executor or a backup executor, a trustee, a successor trustee of your plan, then that person or people are in charge of settling your estate when you pass. Depending if you die with a will, without a will, or with a trust, will indicate how that settlement process works. The easiest thing to say is if you die with or without a will and your stuff goes through probate, probate takes about a year. Your executor, your administrator have to get sworn in the courthouse of the county you passed away living in. They're given what's called a short certificate from the court, which is the legal document stating that they're in charge and they were sworn in. We have to go through the process of obtaining an EIN for your estate because your Social Security number no longer works. They then have to open an estate account so we can pay bills out of it. There's documents we have to file with the court. We have to advertise the estate. We have to pay the debts of the creditors that were owed prior to your passing. We have to pay the funeral expenses associated with your passing. We have to pay the taxes associated with your passing. There's a lot that goes into this job. Excuse me. And so we're there to hold their hand and make sure that the process and the steps are seen to in the necessary order. It's the job of the executor or the administrator to settle your estate, to make sure your debts are paid, the inheritance tax is filed, that what's left over is distributed to the heirs. And we want to do so in a timely manner. More often than not, I'll meet people who are so consumed with the process that they're paralyzed and they don't know what to do. Call us. We'll walk you through the process. We'll hold your hand. We'll help make it as easy as possible. But you have to know that you have to settle the estate. You can't just go paying bills willy-nilly. There's a priority of creditor list. Don't make that distribution too soon. Because what if a debt comes in, a creditor comes in and files a claim, and all the money's gone? The process may seem fairly straightforward, and it is if you're good at following instructions, following rules. But this is a procedure. We have to give notice to creditors, to beneficiaries. We have to advertise. We have to report certain things to the court. And they must be strictly followed. If you know the rules, you know that if we make an estimated payment for the inheritance tax, and keep in mind, there is no tax if you're leaving something to a spouse or a charity, but there are reporting requirements if you leave something to that charity. Tax rate for kids and grandkids is 4.5%. The tax rate for siblings is 12%. The tax rate for anybody else, nieces, nephews, neighbors. I recently had somebody who passed away. They were never married. They had a partner, a boyfriend for 35 years. And he said to me, I'm the spouse. And I asked, if they were actually married, do you have a marriage certificate? And he said, no, we just lived together for 35 years. I treated her as though she's my spouse. And although that may be true, unfortunately, you fall into the highest tax rate in Pennsylvania. If you weren't married. And in his case, they lived together for 35 years. I asked the follow-up question, have you ever filed a joint tax return? Married filing jointly, married filing individually. Have you ever filed as though you were a married couple? And his answer was no. Well, then unfortunately, you're going to pay 15% inheritance tax. Now, his issue is even greater because she died without a will. They live in the same house. However, that house was just in her name. He made the assumption, because he was a resident there, he lived there, they split bills, that it's his. His name's not on it. His partner, that's what we'll call her because she wasn't his wife, died without a will. She died without indicating who gets that house. Because she died without naming him as the beneficiary, she dies and her stuff is distributed based on Pennsylvania's intestacy law. What does that mean? Pennsylvania will indicate who gets your stuff based solely on their relationship to you when you died. She passed away without a spouse, without kids, without parents. Next in line are siblings. He's fortunate because those siblings respect his relationship with their sister for the last 35 years and say to him, we will disclaim our interest in her estate and sign over that house to you. Is that common? No. And I say that so emphatically because growing up, I will never forget, my neighbor unexpectedly passed away. She was engaged to her fiancé. They'd been engaged and dating for as long as I could remember, years and years and years. I was little. But they were engaged. They were getting married in several months, I believe. But they'd lived in this house that she had purchased 10 years before up until the day of their marriage. Unfortunately, a tragic accident claimed her life. And even though her fiancé had lived with her, and even though he had helped her pay that mortgage for the last 5-8 years, when she passed, she didn't have a will. And her estate went to her parents. And her parents didn't like her fiancé. I'm not making this up. Her fiancé, who was my neighbor for the next 20 plus years, had to buy that house all over again that he'd been helping to pay for the last 5-8 years from her parents. It's just a simple example of what can happen if you don't have a comprehensive plan in place. All too common, people say, I'll get to it later. They put it off, they procrastinate. And let's face it, that's human nature. Who really wants to talk about this? But it's our job to make sure that we talk about it, we touch base on it. We make sure who you want to get your stuff actually gets it upon your passing so that you don't have to hope that your siblings will disclaim their interest in a house you never thought that they would be entitled to. Just like my current client. Legally, they don't have to do that. They're good people. They know that that's been his house for the last 35 years. And even though the law says it's theirs, they believe it's his. But what happens if they didn't disclaim their interest to that man? It's going to be a whole big deal. A really big deal, unnecessarily so, to settle that estate. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, but thank you for tuning in to Conti's Law this week. Tune in next week. Give us a call, 724-784-0239. God bless.